Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing this program now beginning at the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love for you to exercise it right now. 844-322-2742, because it is Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Sure appreciate that. And Andrew Farley joins us. Welcome, Andrew. Good to have you with us.
Yes, indeed. Hey, great to be here.
As always. Thought today we would go back into the vaults and bring up a statement that was very meaningful to me. It's a statement that stuck in my head many years ago, and it's really kind of helped shape how I've lived out the Christian life. I found out after I heard this that I had the Christian life all backwards. But this put it in its proper order, its proper perspective. And the statement comes from Major Ian Thomas, and here's what he had to say. A life of faith is our love for God, resulting in dependency upon God, resulting in obedience to God. And I know the teaching that I had received prior to really hearing this statement had it all backwards. It was obedience first. And I found myself just doing legalistic obedience. I was kind of given over to self-effort, human effort, trying to be God's guy, but that never worked so well. And my hope was that if I was obedient, if I was disciplined, if I could carry out the commands that God had given me, that at some point a love for God would start welling up within my heart. But that never happened. And the reason it never happened is because I was going at it all wrong. So a life of faith has to start with the love of God. And that's why it's so important as far as being in ministry, as far as pastors, as far as leaders are concerned, to always start with the love of God, because that will get the thing rolling in the right way, and the end result will be obedience from the heart, exactly what God has equipped us and enabled us to live out. So this is very important stuff, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, Bob, you know, it reminds me of what Paul told the Romans 2,000 years ago. You know, in Romans 1 and 6, he talks about this. He's got this peculiar turn of a phrase, the obedience of faith. Romans 1, 5 says, we've received grace, and it says to bring about the obedience of faith. And then in Romans 6, he says, you know, you're slaves of obedience or you're slaves of sin. That doesn't mean that, you know, God is our taskmaster and that we're his slaves and that he's cruel to us, but it means that we're harnessed, we're connected to obedience. When we get in union with Christ, when we get connected to Christ, we don't realize it, but we're connected to obedience. And, you know, to be a slave of something, you can't get away from it. Like, we could try to love sin, but we'll never really love sin anymore. Instead, we crave obedience. And what's unique about that, Romans 6 goes on to say, we've become obedient from the heart. So this connectedness to obedience, it meets a heart desire. Like, I need to know I've got an obedient heart, not a disobedient heart. So, you know, when the guy up front says, hey, we've got wicked, wicked hearts, I need to say, hang on a minute. No, I've got an obedient heart. I don't have a wicked heart. God gave me a new heart, and it's obedient. So this turn of this phrase here, you know, the obedience of faith, believing is obeying. And obeying is believing. And when we see that they're one and the same, then we don't go about this sort of lifeless, legalistic obedience to a bunch of rules, but instead we see, oh, my faith is my obedience, and my obedience happens by faith. So it's all about trusting Jesus from start to finish.
Yes, it is. And that love for God, you know, I think if you really search the New Testament, you see that when it talks about walking by faith in Jesus Christ, that's how we express our love for God. That's a heart saying to God, I love you more than anything else that's out there in the world. And that's the heart that God has given us. And we see, and what was so, I guess, inspiring to me about Major Thomas's statement was the fact that this is an inside-out process. So we oftentimes look outside in hopes to change the inside. But that's not how God works. And as you were so rightfully saying, he has given us a new heart. That's the transformation. That's the change that has happened on the inside, a heart that can love God. I always go back to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 6. And Moses makes an incredible prophecy there. He said there's going to come a time where God is going to circumcise our hearts so that we can love him. The law does not put love in the human heart. Rules and regulations does not put love for God in the heart. That takes a work of God's Spirit. That takes the love of God being poured out inside of us that produces, that results in our love for God. And from there, we can be dependent upon God. That's where the trust and reliance, and it's like, hey, he loves me. I'm not going to go anywhere other than Christ for meaning and purpose to life. I'm not going to turn to the things of this world. The world doesn't love me. God loves me. And so I want to depend upon him. I want to rely upon him. And that results in this obedience, this heart expression, this heartfelt expression of obedience. And once we get it in that order, once we realize that it all starts with the love of God, we're never going to love God until we receive his love for us. We love because he first loved us. When we realize that this life of faith starts with love, it's going to end up really well for you, I guarantee you.
That's a great guarantee, Bob. Thank you. And thanks to Andrew. Of course, Andrew Farley is joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me, Bob Davis. And we're glad that you're with us. Once again, if it's the 3 o'clock hour, Central Time, you can join us by phone at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. I want to remind you, folks, we only have 5 or 6 days left for the offer of this excellent CD series that Bob Christopher produced called Be a Voice. It was created, of course, to aid you in understanding how to effectively share the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with those around you. Had a wonderful comment from an anonymous listener that I wanted to share, kind of in line with giving. He says, in response to Bob's challenge, not just to give, but to give generously, I increased the amount of my monthly giving to Basic Gospel. In some weird way, giving financially to Basic Gospel helped me to see that it isn't just Bob, Richard, and Bob's ministry, it's mine too, both in the proclaiming of truth to a wider audience, but also in benefiting personally from those same truths. It's not always obvious how the good news plugs into the exact struggle that we're going through, but with enough time, God will make it known. So I want to encourage the listeners to give Basic Gospel more, not only in your minds, but also through your financial gifts. This gospel message is indeed good news, and even if you can't say it as enthusiastically as Bob Christopher does yet, give it time, and this good news will come back to you. So that's a wonderful comment, guys, I thought, and thanks to him, and thanks to everyone who stands with us to give financially to this ministry. And, of course, the CD series Be a Voice is yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel, and you can do that either of two good ways. First, by going to our website and clicking donate, or online, by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Just click donate or call 844-322-2742 with your gift to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob, and we're getting close to the end of the month, and we would love to see a good push, a good inflow of contributions to really get our fiscal year started out well.
Right.
We are so pleased with how many people have stood up and stood with us and said, hey, I want to give so that this good news of Jesus Christ can continue being broadcast through Basic Gospel. And so we say thank you to those who have given already.
Yeah.
If you can do a gift between now and the end of the month, that's coming up Monday, we would greatly appreciate it. That would really put us on a solid footing for this new fiscal year. And when you do, be sure and request this resource. It is a powerful resource.
Yes.
In not only your own personal life, helping you really understand who you are in Christ and what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection really means for you, but in being a catalyst to help you stand up and say, Lord, use me. Use my voice. Use me as an individual to share the good news with those around me. So request a copy of Be a Voice.
Yeah, again, just click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742 with your gift.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our good friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hello. As a matter of fact, where I got this question, I was reading Andrew's book, and I'm sorry I can't remember the title. It was published in 2009, about the one where you left college to get
yes.
out of legalism. What's the title of that book?
The Naked Gospel, yes.
Yes, it's very, very good, and I've read it once before, but it was some time ago, and I'm reading it again. So I was reading last night about, you were talking about the 600 or something laws of the Mosaic Covenant and everything, and one of them, it struck me, that word laity, about how you would have the priesthood and the separation of the laity, and it's mentioned 10 times in the Old Testament, and there's a couple of times that the laity stepped on the toes of the priesthood, they could be even put to death for it, you know, camping too close to them. And my question to you is, one of the biggest sources of legalism that I see drawn over into this new covenant priesthood in Jesus Christ is this separation of clergy and laity. And I want you to talk about, he says that we're all his royal priesthood.
Yeah.
And that we're a kingdom of priests. And I'm trying to tell a friend, there's no such thing as laity in this new covenant. And if you could just talk about that, I want to thank you for that excellent, excellent book.
Oh, well, Clay, thanks for your kind words and your encouragement on Basic Gospel today. Listen, I agree with you. I think it's important to know our identity in Christ, and that identity holds true for any human being that is in Christ Jesus. You're quoting from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and it says, "You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Well, you know, that's a qualification verse. That's saying you're qualified. And you, Clay, are qualified. We're qualified. Anyone out there who's in Jesus Christ has been qualified by Jesus Christ to do what? To proclaim that God is excellent, to proclaim the excellencies of God. So this passage is a you plural. It's written to a whole group of people as Peter writes this. So it is a corporate statement about everyone in this congregation, everyone who is in Jesus Christ. And it says they're chosen and they're royal and they're holy, and God owns us. We are a people of God's own possession. So, you know, it used to be, and it still is, in Catholicism that people are separating themselves according to their wardrobe. In some cases, people go and separate themselves geographically. In some cases, in Protestant churches as well, there's separation by wardrobe. You know, you look at what people are trying to do when they separate themselves from other people. They're trying to get holy. They're trying to reserve themselves for God. They're trying to be God's right-hand man or woman. And what we need to see is that there's only one way to be reserved for God, and it's through the blood of Christ. Through the blood and resurrection, we all become people of God's own possession, and he's not playing favorites here, and there aren't any levels here. It's an equal playing field. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free. All of those barriers that the world puts up come crumbling down, and there's an incredible equality in Jesus Christ. So I'm with you, my friend. I mean, it is a crying shame when, you know, leadership in a given organization or whatever tend to lord their authority over another person and make them feel lesser just because they're not, you know, they don't have a title to their name, or they're not drawing a paycheck from a church or something like that. So the bottom line is, look, we got to know our identity in Jesus Christ. And what Jesus has done for us, he's done for all of us. And that's why there's diversity and variety, but there's equality in the body of Christ. And Bob, I think when we recognize that, that's a unifying truth that can actually bring a church together. You know, as a pastor, I'm thankful that, okay, I've got this role. I will teach and shepherd to some degree, but I'm not the great shepherd, and I'll never have to be. And number two, anyone in our congregation can lead and help and teach and serve, and we're working together as a team, and it's not really a hierarchy when we're serving one another in love.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And boy, this has been going on for thousands of years. I think ever since the lie of Satan entered into kind of the human experience, we've been trying to separate one from another. We have superiority complexes that have been going on since the beginning of time. And we see it between the haves and the have-nots. And a lot of times we take that into the church. There's a new thing going on today, the new apostolic reformation. Hmm. And what that movement is all about is a group of people saying we're super spiritual, that we have powers that ordinary people don't have. And so we're the anointed, we're the special group now. And people are just buying into that. Because, you know, I can't touch God's anointed. I can't speak against what somebody is saying, even though I know it's against the clear teaching of the Word of God. So we have to have a sense of discernment. And, Clay, you're absolutely right. This division puts fear into people's hearts. And fear is I think, the motivation for legalism. We see that with Peter when the Judaizers came along. He separated from the Gentiles. Why? Because he was afraid of those Jewish leaders, and that led him into hypocrisy. And he was of such an influence that even Barnabas followed him in his hypocrisy. And so those are some of the things that can happen when we don't understand that we are equal in Christ, that we're all fellow members, a part of this royal priesthood. So, Clay, you've done a good service today in bringing that to our airwaves.
Yes.
And, you know, Andrew and Richard and Bob, as far as teaching, you know, as far as being, quote, a minister, and that's a function. That's a role that we play. That's not an identity.
Yeah.
That doesn't distinguish us from anyone else. It's just a role, a function that we play within the body of Christ. It's very important for us to really actually go overboard in teaching that we're all one in Christ, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have to go overboard because people have a natural tendency. If someone is up on the stage for 38 minutes every Sunday, then, you know, apparently they're high and lifted up. And, you know, people tend to sort of follow and assume that someone has a certain status or level or something like that. So it would be remiss of us to not constantly remind each other, remind congregations, remind people that support. You know, we're just people, and we're dependent on Jesus just like you are. And, you know, earlier in the broadcast, there was a gentleman who talked about giving and supporting Basic Gospel. And he said, you know, I just realized it's not just your ministry, it's our ministry. It's my ministry. It's when I gave, I felt like it was my ministry. Well, that's the truth. Like, nobody owns this. This belongs to Jesus, if anyone. And, you know, we as a team, we get to come together. And yes, there are different roles, different functions, but ultimately, we're working together as a big team. And the goal is get the message out, be a voice. And I love that, because what a reminder that we're all just human and frail and dependent, and we get to be branches. We'll never be the vine. And that is good news. What a relief.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, it is.
Bob?
Well, Clay, again, thank you for your call. Always good to hear from you, friend. Guys, if you'll humor me just one more time, I have a short comment from a listener I wanted to share with all of you. This is from Regina, who lives in Red Oak, Texas. She says, oh, my goodness, I'm listening to the Friday edition about hard passages, specifically Matthew 9:17. She says, I always interpreted that to mean we, were the wineskins carrying the Spirit of the Lord, the wine. And as such, we had to become new. But God revealed the truth about this scripture today through Richard's explanation. I thank God for his guidance and your teaching, and also for working through you and your program. Thank you. Of course, on every Friday edition, we're doing hard passages. And, of course, that's exactly what Virginia was talking about. And so we encourage you, friends, to tune in and listen and obviously understand the explanation and the interpretation of those passages that may be troubling to you. And if you have one, a specific passage that is troubling to you, if it's tripping you up, if it's becoming a concern to you, well, drop it to us. You can do that either of three good ways. First, Bob@basicgospel.net. That's the email address, Bob@basicgospel.net. You can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, and record your question. Or you can go to our Facebook channel and you can post it there. So we are very accessible ministry.
Yes, indeed.
So hard passages this Friday and every Friday for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Granger, Texas, and talk with Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay. Daniel.
All right, that's great. I had two questions, matter of fact. Mary, was she ascended into heaven while she was alive, or she had passed away? And then my other question was that walked with God in the Old Testament was Enos, or Enoch, I can't
Enoch, yes.
Yes. Was he just alive and God took him up to heaven? I just wanted to.
Well, Daniel, great questions, and we certainly thank you for posing them on today's broadcast. Andrew, Richard, did Mary ascend to heaven before she died? Do we have any record of that? Or?
The Bible says nothing about that. We can presume, because she was a regular human being, that she eventually died of old age or of disease or something, but there's nothing in the Bible that says she ascended to heaven. That comes from Catholicism point of view.
Yes.
But the Bible doesn't teach that.
Okay.
Yeah, and Andrew, how about Enoch? The book of Genesis says that he walked with God and then he was no more. And, what is that all about? How do we understand that?
Yeah, well, a lot of people do believe that both Elijah and Enoch were taken. So Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. So took him away certainly implies that. 2 Kings chapter 2 also talks about Elijah, a chariot of fire and horses. Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. So, these are rare cases where this sort of thing happened, Bob, but it's really important, I think, in today's world, because of what Richard just shared, that we not include Mary, the mother of Jesus, in this group, because what happens then is that the authority, the position, the role of Mary is then distorted through that story, through that myth that she is somehow ascended into heaven. That certainly was the case for Enoch, for Elijah, but it's not the case for Mary. And that's important because there's only one Jesus. There's only one Jesus Christ. And the fact that he came through Mary is nice and well and good, but there are so very few verses about Mary, and she needs to be put in a proper perspective and recognize she's human. She was human just like us. Not special, not different, not a God, not on the level of Jesus by any stretch. So, she was dependent on the Lord just like we are today. And unfortunately, people get off the rails and have a distorted view of her at times. So don't put any credence in that at all. Mary died just like the rest of us and went to be with the Lord just like the rest of us do.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for that. Daniel, thanks for your question. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks for joining us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. And, Andrew, I love those last words. We have one Savior, one Lord, one Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. And we all have that opportunity to receive him. And as Mary had the opportunity to carry him in her womb for 9 months, we have the wonderful privilege of having him abide in us, live in us, eternally. And that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Friends, as we close the broadcast, I want to remind you once again that we have a wonderful CD series called Be a Voice to aid you in expressing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to your family, friends, and perhaps those you work with as well. Click donate at basicgospel.net, or you may phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for today. For Bob, Richard, Andrew, and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.